Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Epiphany Radio Program. This is Deacon Louis Zimlick here in the Diocese of Kalamazoo, and we have Bishop Paul Bradley here with us today. Bishop, welcome.
Good morning, Deacon Louis. Good morning to all of our listeners. Happy Sunday to all of you.
And we're going to be going through the readings that are read at Mass this weekend and are read all over the world. And, of course, today is also Veterans Day, too, so we remember our veterans and prayers. And really, the scriptures are quite fitting for all of this, too, of course, as God would have it, in this 32nd Sunday in Ordinary Time. So we'll start right in the readings, and Bishop Bradley will give us his thoughts and ideas on the scriptures, as well as things that are going on here in the Diocese of Kalamazoo. So we hope you stay with us for the entire half hour. So our first reading today is from 1 Kings 17:10-16. In those days, Elijah the prophet went to Zarephath. As he arrived at the entrance of the city, a widow was gathering sticks there. He called out to her, "Please bring me a small cupful of water to drink." She left to get it, and he called out after her, "Please bring along a bit of bread." She answered, "As the Lord your God lives, I have nothing baked. There is only a handful of flour in my jar and a little jug and a little oil in my jug. Just now I was collecting a couple of sticks to go and prepare something for myself and my son. When we have eaten it, we shall die." Elijah said to her, "Do not be afraid. Go and do as you propose. But first make me a little cake and bring it to me. Then you can prepare something for yourself and your son. For the Lord, the God of Israel, says, 'The jar of flour shall not go empty, nor the jug of oil run dry, until the day when the Lord sends rain upon the earth.'" She left and did as Elijah had said. She was able to eat for a year, and he had her son as well. The jar of flour did not go empty, nor the jug of oil run dry, as the Lord had foretold through Elijah. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Our responsorial psalm is taken from Psalm 146, and the refrain is, "Praise the Lord, my soul."
Praise the Lord, my soul.
The Lord keeps faith forever, secures justice for the oppressed, gives food to the hungry. The Lord sets captives free.
Praise the Lord, my soul.
The Lord gives sight to the blind. The Lord raises up those who were bowed down. The Lord loves the just. The Lord protects strangers.
Praise the Lord, my soul.
The fatherless and the widow he sustains, but the way of the wicked he thwarts. The Lord shall reign forever. Your God, O Zion, through all generations. Alleluia.
Praise the Lord, my soul. And our second reading today is from the book of Hebrews, Hebrews 9:24-28. That's Hebrews 9:24-28. Christ did not enter into a sanctuary made by hands, a copy of the true one, but heaven itself, that he might now appear before God on our behalf. Not that he might offer himself repeatedly, as the high priest enters each year into the sanctuary, with blood that is not his own. If that were so, he would have had to suffer repeatedly from the foundation of the world. But now, once for all, he has appeared at the end of the ages to take away sin by his sacrifice, just as it is appointed that human beings die once, and after this, the judgment. So also Christ offered once to take away the sins of many, will appear a second time, not to take away sin, but to bring salvation to those who eagerly await him. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. And our gospel reading today is from the Gospel of St. Mark, the 12th chapter, 38th through 44th verses. In the course of his teaching, Jesus said to the crowds, "Beware of the scribes who like to go around in long robes and accept greetings in the marketplaces, seats of honor in synagogues, and places of honor at banquets. They devour the houses of widows and as a pretext recite lengthy prayers. They will receive a very severe condemnation." He sat down opposite the treasury and observed how the crowd put money into the treasury. Many rich people put in large sums. A poor widow also came and put in two small coins worth a few cents. Calling his disciples to himself, he said to them, "Amen, I say to you, this poor widow put in more than all the other contributors to the treasury. For they have all contributed from their surplus wealth, but she, from her poverty, has contributed all she had, her whole livelihood." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Beautiful gospel readings. And in case you're just joining us, this is the Epiphany Radio Program, and we're meeting today with Bishop Bradley, Bishop Paul Bradley, the Bishop of the Diocese of Kalamazoo. And Bishop, it's good to have you here.
Thanks. It's good to be here with you, Deacon Louis, and be with all of our listeners today on this 32nd Sunday of the year.
And it's kind of amazing. We have a lot of things that are going on this month, things that are going on in the church, and of course these beautiful scriptures kind of go in with this too, but also Veterans Day too. Mm-hmm. You know, so a happy Veterans Day to all of our veterans.
Yes, I second that to all of those who have served our country, and especially in so many ways for those who have given their all for them, for their families, but for all who have served the needs of our country in the military, and in other ways as well, in public service. We are very grateful to everyone for their generous contributions of themselves. You mentioned this is a special month. This is November, the 11th month of the year. It's almost the end of the year. And this is a month in a special way for us as Catholics, when we have a particular remembrance of all the faithful departed.
Yes.
So our veterans who have given their all, of course, who have sacrificed their lives. But just for all people who have, as the church so beautifully says, gone before us, marked with the sign of faith. And we pray for them throughout this month in a very special way. We always pray for all of our faithful departed, but in a particular way in this month that began November 1st with the Feast of All Saints, and then was followed up the next day with the commemoration of all the faithful departed. So that's not for us just one day. It's we dedicate this whole month to a special remembrance of those who have died, and we pray are on their way to live forever with God in heaven.
And it's a beautiful time also, Bishop, to go to Mass. We had a funeral just this last week, and they didn't have any visitation, and so the church was full. Mm-hmm. And this was a very faithful man. He was a veteran. Mm. And only about half of the people there were Catholic. Mm-hmm. But he had lived a good long life, and people had said at the end of Mass how beautiful it was, mm-hmm. how much it moved them. Mm-hmm. And even after going to the internment and coming back to church, most everyone stayed. Mm. You know, they stayed. And they were just so impressed. You know, of course, you know, the incense and the prayers, and it's, there's so much beauty to this sending off to heaven.
Mm-hmm. And, well, you know, but the church, I think in her wisdom, we're approaching the end of the church year.
Yes.
The calendar year, of course, ends December 31st.
Mm-hmm.
But the liturgical year, the church year, as we refer to it, is ending in just another couple of weeks, towards the end of November. So we're at the 32nd Sunday in Ordinary Time. I think there are two more Sundays until the end of the month. And then December 2nd, I believe, is the first Sunday of Advent. And that begins an entirely new liturgical year. But in the church's wisdom, as these readings, as we approach the end of the church year, the scripture readings for our masses,
mm-hmm,
begin to take on more of a tone of being mindful of that reality.
Yes.
That we are mortal human beings and that we're only going to live in this world for a certain number of years. Only God knows what those numbers of years are for each of us, but at some point, these years that we're living in this world will come to an end. So the church, trying to be always ever mindful of our own spiritual welfare, just has those reminders,
mm-hmm,
to say, how well are we living our lives? How faithfully are we being in our relationship with God? How, as the theme of the readings today reminds us, how sensitive are we to the needs of those who are poor? How are we reaching out to those who have great needs? So it's an important time of the year for all of us.
It is. And I think also, you know, the seasons also point to that too. The trees,
sure,
going into this hibernation mode. And of course, for many of us, you know, that's what we do. We fall asleep. We live forever,
mm-hmm,
in one of two places,
mm-hmm,
heaven or hell. And we kind of think about that. I think about that when I see, you know, all the leaves are gone. You know, people say, well, all the trees have died. You know, it's, mm-hmm, like, no, they haven't died. You know, maybe a few of them have. But next spring, that will all come back again. Mm-hmm. So I like the, you know, the readings today. But there's a lot of sadness, too. You know, I see these starving children in Yemen,
mm-hmm,
over in the Middle East. Such a tragedy there.
Mm-hmm.
And it reminded me in a very profound way of Mary with Jesus at the foot of the cross. And here's this mother holding this child. And it's just like, what are we doing?
Do you know who else that makes very sad? God.
Yes.
Our Father. God who is our Father, Mother, our Parent, God who cares about the well-being of each and every human being.
Mm-hmm.
And, it, to use our own human expression, it breaks God's heart.
Yes.
To see people suffering and struggling. So, you know, for another reason, we have these readings that are prompting us to be thinking about what's our responsibility,
yes,
when it comes to that. So, you know, as you rightly say, Deacon Louis, at, when we see the news reports, at the very least, we should be moved to,
yes,
to prayer. But what else can we and need we to do?
Right. And I thought about, you know, Catholic Relief Services, about, you know, CRS going onto their website and see if they're trying to do anything. But these needs are everywhere. They're in our own community as,
sure,
well.
Yeah.
And, you know, sometimes we talked about this the other day, you know, it's good, something, okay, made me feel good. I did that, and I feel good. But what am I going to do tomorrow?
Mm-hmm.
What's my faith journey like? Do I have a faith journey?
Mm-hmm.
How long have I been away from church? How long, you know, and starvation, even this, you know, where they talk about in 1 Kings here, this starving of ourselves can not only just be material food, but spiritual food.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, let's think for a moment. You mentioned again about our first reading for today. It's a powerful reading.
It is.
And, you know, when we think about this passage from the first book of Kings, here's Elijah the prophet coming to a place called Zarephath that obviously was in the midst of a terrible drought and a terrible condition, as you were pointing to in Yemen. It probably was something of that nature as he was traveling. He himself was weary, and he saw this woman, and he asks her for water. You know, keeping in mind, in the ancient Middle East, hospitality was just first and foremost. Even if you're dying, you need to show hospitality to somebody else. And that's really what was happening here. This woman was in the act of dying, as she reveals in this reading. But Elijah says, could you get me some water? And by the way, bring me some cake, too. Right. Give me some a little bread.
Yeah.
And she very kindly, gently says, well, I was just gathering a little bit of sticks so I can have a little fire so we can prepare something for me and my son, and then we're going to die because there's nothing else.
Yeah.
And what does Elijah say? Well, that's okay. Go ahead and get me my things first and then get something for yourself. And don't worry. God will provide.
Yes.
God will make sure that you will have enough. Your cup will not go empty. Your jug will not run dry.
Yes.
As the Lord foretold. That was kind of a miraculous situation there, that Elijah was an instrument of God's mercy to this woman. But she wasn't a woman of faith.
Right.
Remember, she said back to Elijah, as the Lord your God lives.
Yes.
And then Elijah was able to say, well, okay, but don't be afraid, because the God of Israel is going to help you. So, you know, that sense of even when you're down to your last hours, possibly, this woman took the risk of responding to Elijah's needs, and her repayment was that, you know, she was fine. That at the end of the year, when God's provisions might have run out, the drought was over and they could continue to live. That's my supposition.
Absolutely.
Here it doesn't say that, but so what a powerful motivator. Would I do that? You know, to somebody that came to my door and I'm about to die, am I going to be generous enough, kind enough, to share even the little bit that I have? It's an important question.
It is for
all
of us.
Yeah,
yes.
For sure.
And especially this day when we think about, do I give to God first?
Mm-hmm.
And that's what she did.
Mm-hmm.
She gave to God first. She gave to Elijah, and God blessed her. Because
even though she didn't believe.
Even though she didn't believe.
As the Lord your God lives, she said, I have nothing baked, but I'll go and do as you ask. Because, you know, that beautiful line there that we hear so much throughout all of Scripture, do not be afraid.
Amen.
Do not be afraid. That's the message that could be part of the message that we could say was a summary statement of God's revealed word. Do not be afraid. I am with you.
Yeah.
And that's a beautiful thing. But that same message kind of gets carried over into the gospel.
Yes, indeed.
Because Jesus is in the temple. The scribes, his antagonists, are there. And he's being pretty critical of them. And saying they will receive a very severe condemnation because Jesus knows that they're hypocrites. They say one thing, but they do another. They try to act as though they're religious, but it's just so that people could pay attention to them. And they didn't lift a finger to help anybody else. So, you know, in that regard, Jesus was being very critical, not critical in a bad way, just telling it like it was.
Right.
But then St. Mark tells us that Jesus sat down by the treasury and just watched people putting their money in.
Yes, observing.
Observing.
Yes.
But that's a kind of an interesting comment on Mark's part. But, of course, Jesus was seeing wealthy people putting in a lot of money, and good for them,
mm-hmm.
But then he saw this poor widow, another widow,
yes,
that comes, and she has barely anything for herself, and yet she gives a couple of pennies. But for her,
yes,
that was more than any of those wealthy people had given, because they had a lot of leftover cash. So they gave, oh, I'll give you a few dollars.
Right.
But she gave everything she had.
Amen.
And so Jesus, of course, commends her, as rightly she should be commended. So again, that risk, you know, she, even in her great want, wanted to help support the temple, wanted to support the needs of others.
Amen.
Again, the question, would I be? Am I that generous?
Right. In case you're just joining us, we're visiting with Bishop Paul Bradley, the Bishop of the Diocese of Kalamazoo, the Catholic Diocese of Kalamazoo, and we're glad you're with us here today. We're just kind of finishing up with Mark's Gospel and talking about some other things that are going on. But you're right, Bishop, some beautiful similarities here between our, of course, our first reading and the second reading, and Jesus observing us as I believe he's observing us.
Sure.
And you know, the church has had its share of problems and ups and downs through all of history, and those problems don't cease to exist, you know. But as a good family, we attend to our brothers and sisters. We try to help those who are in need. And the church makes mistakes too, you know. But Jesus continues to intercede for us and help us. And I think November, as you were saying, Bishop, is so important for us to reflect on those things.
Well, and I think that's, although the second reading doesn't tie into the first reading in the Gospel very, very closely, it does relate exactly to what you just commented on there, Deacon Louis, because it's a reading from the letter to the Hebrews, and it's reminding us that Jesus's great act of redemption, his suffering, death, and resurrection, was accomplished once and for all time, what we need in order to be reconciled with God. What we celebrate every time we come to Mass is a reenactment of that one moment that
Amen.
Jesus did for us at one point in time, but effective for all time. And so we have been saved through that act of Jesus's suffering, death, and resurrection. The question is, are we bright enough, smart enough, open enough, generous enough to put aside other interests, other desires, other ambitions that are more worldly centered to accept what it is that Jesus has provided for us,
yes.
to allow him to draw us in to the life of faith.
Amen. And it's such a powerful thing to think about that. You know, I mentioned that to my pastor, you know, that Catholicism is that priest, when he is up there, is Jesus. That is Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And it's hard to wrap your head around that sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
And that the Eucharist, the Holy Eucharist, receiving Holy Communion, is Jesus. This Thanksgiving, this Eucharistic bread. So it's just beautiful. We just have about 5 minutes left or so. We can continue on with the scriptures or anything else you'd like to talk about, Bishop.
Well, I think these scriptures do put us into the question if more or less an examination of conscience. This is a time of thanksgiving as well, the month of commemoration of all the faithful departed, but we're drawing closer to the season of thanksgiving. You know, already I think it was yesterday we had the holiday parade.
That's right.
Here for Kalamazoo. I think Santa arrived. So, you know, already we're into the kind of the holiday season, but the first most important season or holiday that will be coming up soon is the Day of Thanksgiving. So it just puts us always in that mind of, for what are we grateful?
Amen.
You know, we're grateful to live in this country. And as you rightly pointed out, Veterans Day and all of those who have protected our rights and our freedoms mm-hmm. to be able to live in the ways that we live. So we give thanks for that. We give thanks for our faith. But how do we express our gratitude? Mm. You know, we say thank you, God. I hope that we take at least a moment to say thank you, God, each and every day. But, you know, God's desire is what we heard in these readings.
Amen.
That there not be any poor people.
Yes.
That there not be any people that are left out of society's
yes.
life. That there not be people that live in the margins of society. That there not be a famine in Yemen.
Mm-hmm.
Or if there is a famine, that there wouldn't be people starving to death. That
right.
there should be a way in this day and age that we should be able to provide for that. So that's the only way that we can express true gratitude to
yes.
God, is to love God.
Amen.
But to love our neighbor. And how do we love our neighbor? We can't just say, as St. James likes to say, well, stay warm,
yes.
well fed, see you later, hope
right.
everything works out.
Right.
What are we going to do to tend to their needs? So, you know, as we give thanks to God for these, for all of our blessings, my goodness, we
mm-hmm.
can't even stop and count them all. How are we showing that gratitude to the people that live right around us? We don't have to go around the world. We just right around us.
That's right. Just making a simple donation, you know, to whatever church you grew up in, to a soup kitchen, to an organization that you know is going to be able to help someone. It's kind of to move us to that. But as you said, Bishop, a day or so ago, you know, okay, I've done that once. What am I going to do every week?
Mm-hmm.
What am I going to do every month? What am I going to do to change
well, and
life?
What are we going to do day in and day out with
Amen.
The people that we live with? You know, generosity of spirit includes being patient with those that might get on our nerves.
Yes.
Forgiving people
right.
that might step on our toes or cut us off in traffic.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the kinds of ways that we can be generous as well to not add to this awful spirit of antagonism that
Amen.
People seem to have one for another. We can make a change. Those of us who believe in Jesus, we know that's not the way for us to live and to act with one another.
Yes, and to pray about that, you know, especially with Thanksgiving coming, to get on our knees and pray, you know, help me to deal differently with my brothers and sisters, you know, that I grew up with. Help me to deal differently with my neighbors or my old boss or with the church, to somehow offer up forgiveness for things that where the church has failed, because the church fails.
Well, we know we're in the midst of these awful scandals, and we keep trying to deal with them as best we can. When I say we, I mean the bishops of the United States.
Absolutely.
Leave for the meeting this week, and I ask everybody to keep that in prayer.
Mm-hmm.
But as you're saying, how do we not look beyond that, but how do we still know that God is present and guiding His church, and that the church is something that is holy and sacred, and that's our way to salvation.
Amen. Thank you, Bishop Bradley, very much. Could we get your blessing, please?
Loving God, we ask your blessing upon all those who are listening to this program, to their families. Continue to grant your graces and peace to our country, to our world, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. God bless you all. Thank you, and we love you.